radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello and welcome aboard, Gallant and George, on a Friday, gotta get down on Friday, November 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2024. I am Paul Gallant, he is Joe George. We got Sean Mapes back at Mission Control, and I'm not going to lie, since we are out here at Twin Peaks, the odds of me getting sidetracked and distracted by scenic views, I would say, are high. Bear with me. I have the ADD, Joe George.
80%? I mean, I see the sunglasses. Figured they're out for a reason. Normally, they're out so people don't stare at us while you do shows and make it awkward.
It's still so people don't stare at me, Joe. I'm not looking and being a creepy man with a mustache with these sunglasses on. I would never, ever.
Ever.
What was I talking about?
Ever. You're just saying ever about
it. Never
expect the Texans to lose.
Got it. Oh. Okay. Again, there's going to be some distractions along the way. You should come out and join us. Joe, I know you haven't had the easiest day.
Yeah, bad day. Bad day.
I'm here to lift your spirits. I'm here. Mr. Positivity, Paul Gallant, who got a lobotomy from a man underneath an overpass on 59 at Chimney Rock.
What was his name? Frank?
I forget.
Clarence?
The lobotomy. I think it was Clarence. I forget. Francis. Whatever. It was something like that. But I'm in a positive mood today. And you know what? The Houston Texans can shut all of us up on Sunday. It's not going to be that hard. They're playing against a team in the Tennessee Titans that stinks. So, I mean, we're all hoping for a blowout. But if you've listened to what anyone in the Texans have been saying this week, there actually is something that the Titans do very well that I feel like is going to challenge this team, which has had a very difficult time protecting C.J. Stroud. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about the strength of the Tennessee Titans.
With Tennessee, their defense, you know, it stands out starting up front with Simmons and Sweat, like two big players that are hard to move. They make it difficult, very difficult to run the ball against them because they do such a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage, and they're two guys who are really hard to displace just because of their size and their power. So that is the focal point for us, is how do we handle right their defensive line, because that is their strength right now.
They got some big old Bigglebees in the middle of that defensive line. I forgot they got Tavondre Sweat. And, of course, Jeffrey Simmons is one of the best defensive linemen that you've probably never heard of in the NFL.
Yeah, Tavondre Sweat, I mean, I remember watching him week one against the Bears and, like, immediate, like, impact right away. I mean, he's a big, big dude. I remember, like, he might have really fell in the draft a little bit because of his weight, but he plays well with it. And then Jeffrey Simmons is a monster. That's your interior. That's your weakness. Like, this isn't Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt.
They're going up against Jarrett Patterson, who has done better subbing in for Kenyon Green, who's out. Juice Scruggs moves over to left guard. But this is also a man who I believe at one point last year was ragdoll tossed into another offensive player. He's a late-round draft pick. He's not the biggest guy in the world. And, of course, Juice Scruggs has had issues all season long, and I think he's a little bit better at left guard, but there's still some issues. He's not the only one talking about the strengths of the Tennessee Titans. Here is C.J. Stroud. Again, it's the same thing.
Very talented. They have a really good defense. They've put it on film. You know, they're almost top 10 in every category that we go over, you know, on days like today. They're number one in third down. And they have a lot of playmakers. You know, Jerry Simmons is a great player. Snead, you know, he's been out, but he's a great player as well. They've brought in Jerome Baker, who I think is a good backer. It's going to be a challenge for us.
They got a good defense. And I know we all want to blow out. As he mentioned, Legarius Sneed's going to be out. The corner that they got from Kansas City this offseason, very good player. But if they go out there on Sunday, Joe, and if they put a hurtin' offensively, especially now that Nico Collins is back, this is actually a game that I have talked myself into feeling better about if the Texans take care of business in it. I didn't feel like they took care of business to the degree that they could have against the Cowboys on Monday. I know the final score says they did. If you watch the game, you know that they didn't. I do think Sunday is an opportunity.
You know what? I do agree with you because last week, you know, people were talking about one sack and how much better the offensive line looked against the Cowboys, but we all knew it was kind of fraudulent, right? Like they said on the broadcast, Micah Parsons had 10 pressures. We don't know what a pressure is still technically, but he had 10 of them. So that was clearly like still a little bit of an issue for the Texans last week. I know, you know, Pro Football Focus put out stats about Jared Patterson. He gave up zero pressures himself this last week. Very good start. Like, it's a good starting place. Still kind of feels like the minor leagues a little bit compared to what Tennessee has. So that's what the most telling lesson the Texans can teach us this weekend is actually how much they've improved on the offensive line, because that's the Titans' strength. And I know they're talking about how good the defense is, but you know what, Paul? People say those things. This is still a team that, and I'm sure some of these were defensive touchdowns because Mason Rudolph is trash, but the Tennessee Titans gave up, math is hard, 86 points in 2 weeks, back-to-back weeks to the Buffalo Bills and Detroit Lions. So defense good, yes. Gave up 34 to the Bills, 52 to the Detroit Lions. So while their defensive line can get pressure on the quarterback, the Lions obviously have a much better offensive line, as does Buffalo, than the Houston Texans. I still expect this team to score some points this weekend. L'Jarius Sneed out, not playing. Their biggest free agency acquisition.
I think what we need to see is the Texans on the first play of the game just bomb it to Nico Collins. Or throw a screen to Nico Collins. Hell, just get Nico Collins more involved. He only played half the snaps for the Texans on Sunday. And if they do that, I do think that there's a very good chance that they actually cover in this game. But, again, they can't have something stupid happen on the first play of the game. Because I do not want Sunday at NRG to turn into NRG Nom. Okay? I do not want it to become the Battle of the Somme. I do not want this to become the quagmire that it theoretically could be if this team does not get off to a good start. Because I do think that CJ tends to start to try and do too much and not operate within the offense when things, as a game goes on, aren't exactly going according to plan. Either because he's feeling pressure that's not there, or he gets a little bit inaccurate and a little jumpy. That's been the theme this year, and that's one of the things he can theoretically fix.
Yeah, 100%, especially if Joe Mixon, you know, if it's closer to the Lions game where that interior off, because that's probably where the biggest thing we got to watch out for in this game with the defensive line is just how it affects Joe Mixon and the run game. Like, it's not just protecting CJ Stroud, but if Joe Mixon is, you know, the first two plays, Bobby Slowick 101, handoff, they go for a total of 1 yard. Well, then, like, what does CJ do on that first third and long?
Yeah.
You can't start slow. In the first half and in the second half. Like, that to me is, like, what I'm looking for the most in this game is meaningful second half points, not from your defense, not in garbage time when this game is over. Meaningful points in the second half, your first drive or your second drive in the second half. Start fast. Put the pedal to the metal and just beat the crap out of a team that you should easily cover the spread. They suck for the most part.
The Texans in the past have put some of their biggest whoopings on the Titans. I mean, I go back to the first real, what was that game of Deshaun Watson's career. That was a blowout victory of the Titans in 2017, 57-14. They beat them, when was this? This was in 2014, 45-21. I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick had six touchdown passes in that game. They've kicked this team's ass. They've won the last three. They should be able to do that on Sunday. We'll see what happens. Do you want to hear from Bobby Slowick, Joe, or are you in too bad of a mood?
Oh, let's get worse. Let's get more angry here.
No. If you don't want to hear Bobby Slowick.
Look, we're here at Twin Peaks thanks to Dos Equis. So let's
nice, paying the bills.
Let's hear some Bobby Slowick, and then I can get a ice cold, fully dressed Dos Equis and get less angry.
Okay, I like that. Here's Bobby Slowick. Not talking about the Titans defense. Landry Locker set this man up. Sean, sorry, I'm throwing a curveball at you here. But I just want to make sure that we can get Joe to be happy for all 3 hours. I know it's off the chore for you guys to keep me happy, but I'm trying to repay the favor. Here is Bobby Slowick being asked about a wardrobe change that he made Monday night against the Dallas Cowboys.
You knew this was going to come. How did Phil call a game without a ball cap on? Is that...
You know, it's one of those head change. You know, just head train, try something different type of deal. I don't know. I mean, literally, I was there. I was like, I'm just going to do something a little different. So, I wouldn't say it's not like I put a lot of thought into this. I mean, I was in the locker room and getting ready to head out for the game, and now I'm just going no hat, and we'll see. I can't believe anybody noticed. My wife didn't even notice, so I didn't think it was a big deal. really?
He's still going. Bobby Slowick did not wear a hat for
Monday
Night Football, Joe.
Change his plans.
He changed the vibes.
Hey, change the vibes.
Yes.
Sometimes that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen it work before. Alex Bregman, the greatest vibe changer of all time. Remember when he shaved his mustache in the middle of a game?
Remember when Kyle Tucker changed his cleats in the middle of a game?
He actually did that twice this year.
Remember when Kyle Tucker's done that multiple times in multiple different ways?
Yeah.
Remember when Framber Valdez got rid of his braids?
And then they came back.
Remember when the Astros changed the uniforms that they wear on Framber starts several times because of how superstitious he was?
Yeah.
And they wear those crappy spring training uniforms instead to make Framber happy instead of wearing the cool Tequila Sunrise jerseys? That's what you do to shift the vibes. And guess what, Joe? The Texans are averaging 34 points a game. Yes, 7 came on defense. 34 points a game since Bobby Slowick took off the hat.
Yeah, he can't go back to the hat.
Can't go back.
I mean, if he wears a hat this weekend and they don't score on offense and they struggle, that's Bobby's fault. Look, if you're going to be stitious, you got to be a lot of stitious, not a little stitious.
I'm glad they took care of the important things, which is changing wardrobe up to shake themselves out of a bad streak.
Do you have anything like that, Paul?
Well, yeah.
Like any, like, superstitions?
I have a pair of Tom Brady boxers.
You wear them every Sunday?
I'm wearing them right now.
Now, so you're wearing when you need a good show, or just...
No, I wanted, I'm wearing a little Oilers shirt right now.
Okay.
I want a little extra H-Town blue in my life.
Okay.
So the H-Town blue is on my good little pieces, you know?
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, my Irish cursed pieces. They're very carefully caressed here in these boxers. I hope everyone's being made appetized here to come out and hang out with us at Twin Peaks. Yeah, man. I'm feeling good.
Good.
Joe's feeling better.
Feeling better.
Okay.
No hats. I'm like balding, so I'm going to keep the hat on.
Have you ever worn a fedora? Like, if you're in a dress setting, would you go fedora for a dress setting? Or would you just go straight?
No, I just go straight.
And you haven't done Chrome Dome yet?
No. Maybe after today. And maybe after today I'll go Chrome Dome.
Okay.
In Rebellion.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like it.
We'll see.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. B-Max out here with us. Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. 713-780-3776 to call to text if you want to jump in. Thursday Night Football last night kicked so much ass. And you're wrong if you think otherwise. I'll fight you. Just like at Texas commenter, challenge me to a fight. Not sure I'm going to fight him. I will fight you, though. Stay put.
OAthletic, OAthletic.com, OAthletic on Instagram. It's 767 North Shepherd in the Heights. They offer over 100 classes per week. Start off in the morning, they pick back up in the afternoon. So whatever your work schedule is, you can find a way to take a class even on the weekends. From weightlifting training to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, all different kinds of classes that you can take there. Don't wait till 2025 to start working on your goals. Get to the gym now. Meet with a personal trainer. Help figure out what those goals are. How much weight you want to lose, how much, you know, weight you want to lose, but muscle mass you want to keep on, all that stuff. You can do it. OAthletic. It's the gym for me. Should be the gym for you. Don't wait till 2025. Check them out. OAthletic.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
A text, how can you be upset at Twin Peaks? Coldest beers and pretty mountaintops. What's he talking about with the last part?
It's chilly in here.
What does that mean, Joe?
It's the mountains.
It is chilly in here? Well, how would you know that?
I can feel my arms.
Oh, okay. Got it. Just checking.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wondering if you were talking about my Twin Peaks getting a little pointy or something like that.
You're okay right now.
Or perhaps some of the other... God, I'm the worst. Hey, you know what wasn't the worst? Thursday Night Football last night. I don't care how much Al Michaels bitched and moaned about that. That game ruled. That game was sick. I mean, from the beginning, you see the snow coming down. Browns took down the Steelers 24-19. Helps out the Houston Texans a little bit. Throws things out of whack in the AFC a little bit. Let's just start off with this, Joe. We are both Yankees. We came down here. We've been living down here a long time. And while I'm not sure that either of us would go back up to be in the snow for more than a week at a time,
yeah,
I do think that snow football is amazing to watch on television. And honestly, I enjoy watching it in person as a fan.
I think it's great. I don't know why there's this pushback to the idea of there being snow at games.
I saw my guy Landry doing it last night again. It's his worst take. He consistently believes in the idea that all football should be played indoors. Nope. This is a man's sport. This is a man's sport. And those little soft poon teams that play in domes should get their asses rocked when they go outside.
100%. It should be hard for the Texans, you know, this year. Like, that's what's so great about the college football playoff this year. Mm-hmm. Is Alabama right now is going to Indiana in December to play Notre Dame.
Theoretically. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's going to happen?
Well, maybe.
You seem like you're manifesting that into existence.
I mean, I don't really want Alabama. Actually, maybe I do want Alabama this year.
This might be the one time
I know. Or it's going to break my heart even more.
I mean, theoretically, the Northern teams might finally get a home field advantage against the Southern teams.
Right now, Ole Miss going to the Midwest. Like, it's great. It's the one part of the college football playoff I never thought of. Like, it's the way football should be played. You play football outdoors.
You play it in all the elements. On the other side of things, I brought this up, and I thought it was kind of funny that the Texans did not have a roof that was completely closed the first couple of weeks of the year. Didn't really affect things. Things were pretty cool inside still. Their air conditioning works, Jim Crane. But they should play in the outdoors, too, the teams in the South. I like the idea of you know, you have to fight through 100 degrees outside. You got an oxygen tank on the sideline, mist machines and all that stuff to keep you going. The thing I love the most about football are the elements. I hate that the games are starting to be played indoors. I kind of like the violence. I'm not here to watch a quarterback off. I'm here to watch men beat the hell out of each other.
Especially because it's like a little treat. Like you don't get them very often. I hate the idea that Cleveland and Chicago are going to be moving to dome stadiums here soon. It's stupid. First of all, you lose one of your only advantages. If you're the Cleveland Browns, you only won last night because of the snow. Like, it's why you won the game. And a game like last night was even more fun because you see the highlights from the beginning of the game where it's perfectly fine on the field versus the end of the game and it's totally different. It's great. It should never change. Football should be played outdoors.
It's where it belongs. It's what separates that sport from all the other ones, more than anything. We also had so much Jameis Winston last night, whether it was that touchdown run where he awkwardly throws himself up like a helicopter and scores on fourth down, or just so many moments where he just opens his mouth and all sorts of things come out. Here is Jameis Winston's pregame speech.
That we have the opportunity to show what we are about. Now make sure we keep our priorities straight because it only matters about us. Not the lights, not the cameras, not the action. It's about the action. It's about our individual action and going out there and playing our best football tonight in front of everybody. That's a powerful testimony, all right? Let's go get it. Family on three. One, two, three.
Let's go.
I love the character of Jameis Winston. I don't know if I like the person still. But the character that he's kind of turned himself into is great.
I think the person is growing.
Yep.
Obviously, what he did in that Uber was terrible. I don't really mind the crab leg story. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's a nothing burger to me.
He's standing up on the table and yelling bleeper right in the bleep. Hey.
Wouldn't recommend.
Don't do that. The shooting the paintball guns at Florida State at folks. I wouldn't do that either.
Forgot about that one.
But listen, if you remove the Uber incident, which is hard to do for some, I totally understand it. I find him very amusing in a clownish kind of way. Here's more Jameis right before kickoff. Here he is with Kaylee Hartung on the Thursday Night Football broadcast. I don't know why Jameis Winston is the only quarterback in the NFL that does pregame interviews, but Here's more Jameis. I don't know what he's thinking, but I love hearing his brain try and work.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm dependent on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
He's so funny.
He's so weird. He's such a strange person.
Not even done. He's obsessed with snow. This might be the first time he saw it, honestly.
That was one of my thoughts. Like, maybe he's never seen snow
It's got to be on the table that this is one of the first times he's ever seen
snow. Real snow. Not Houston snow. real snow.
The occasional Florida dusting that you might get in Tallahassee. I don't know if that ever happens. But here's Jameis Winston after the game. A win over the Pittsburgh Steelers in an awesome Thursday night football game, talking about the snow.
This is really an NFL film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting, I felt like my feet started getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And, man, it was so good. And it was so great to end up in that win.
The squishing part sucks.
It's the worst.
When I was at Syracuse, every Saturday I would play pickup football games with the club rugby team. So we'd play out in the snow. We'd play like full tackle. And, generally, I would say a good third of the year, you're playing in about, let's say, like 5 inches of snow that was just left on the ground that had been like iced in.
Oh.
And
the best.
Well, it's fun at first, but as the game goes on, your feet are literally like little mini frozen lakes. And when you're done playing, that is the absolute worst part, was like walking back to your dorm with all that. And in a football game, I know they got extra cleats on the sidelines. I'm sure at halftime they switch into some warm ones. But that is a dynamic that is absolutely miserable. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemies. Not even that Texans commenter.
Yeah, it's not the it's definitely the worst part of the snow, I would say. It's like, and just when your feet get soaking wet, like having to like take those socks off, and your feet are just frozen solid. Also, feels like they're always the last thing to like warm up when you're getting back from the snow. So, like, but it's fun though. Last night was fun. It was a good win for the Browns. It means nothing. It's good for the Texans, like you said, but we need things like that. We need nights like that, and we're gonna see it this weekend.
Also, we're not even done with the Thursday night football fun. George Pickens, Steelers wide receiver, is a crazy person.
Yeah?
He is crazy. I don't think it's in the good way. I suppose he's more on the reservation than Antonio Brown. I saw an interview that Antonio Brown did today. I mean, that man definitely has CTE. George Pickens is just something else. And I mean, this is a guy who is not afraid to get in a scrap in a Donnybrook in the middle of a play. Imagine, though, in a play that actually makes Tyreek Stevenson look a little bit better, George Pickens, last play of the game between the Browns and Steelers last night, in the middle of a Hail Mary, just gets into an actual squab with Browns cornerback Greg Newsom, to the point where they both go out the back of the end zone while the play is in progress and continue fighting each other after the game was done.
Yeah, strange. Like, when people started highlighting that after the game, because like, obviously in the moment you don't see it.
Right.
But it's just weird. Like,
is it strange? Is it weird? I feel like it's so on brand.
It's 100% on brand.
They like, got to put this guy in the AEW instead of the Costco guy like they did last night.
I cannot believe that.
I'm so happy that they're in the AEW now. I love the Costco
guy. I mean, look, it's like that's very wrestling to have like guys who are famous coming to wrestling. And I guess he actually has wrestling experience. But, like, of all the people, the Costco guys, like, my gosh.
Boom!
I don't know. Are we done with them yet?
I'll never be done with them. I hope that guy's in a nursing home and that, like, the Rizzler and Big Justice.
Yeah.
I hope they're in their like 50s and they're balding and
yeah,
like,
and they're just booming.
The life has kind of gone by, but they'll always have the boom. Who they can always go back to
Who's 15 minutes of fame runs out first? Hawk Tua or Costco guys?
Hawk Tua. I think Hawk Tua is already on the ropes.
I think so too.
I think the Costco guys just they keep delivering content.
And these music videos are bangers.
Haley Welch, the Hawk Tua girl, does not know how to create content. And George Pickens does not know how to control his emotions.
No.
Here is George Pickens after the game being asked about what just went down.
What do you guys try to take away from this loss? What's the message, you know, in the locker room?
Just keep grinding. Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
I don't think they're a good team at all. We would all agree.
Yes.
But they beat you, and the last play of the game, I hope someone asked him about this. I hope someone saw it, unless they were afraid that George Pickens would fight them right there on the spot in the locker room. But I hope someone asked him about the squab that he got into in the middle of a Hail Mary.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot with him because the talent's there for sure. But at some point, like, Mike Tomlin's going to be done with this thing. He got done with Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. Like
Mike Wallace.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of crazy.
Yeah,
he kind of
like moves on. Like it's the Steelers just kind of attract crazy. It seems we've all got friends like that in our lives who like attract crazy, and that's what the Steelers are to the
Plaxico
NFL.
Burris. I mean, I had a.
He just shot.
Although I think he might have been gone by the time that Tomlin took over. You know, the interesting thing with Tomlin, I heard this brought up. I forget which podcast I heard it on, but I think it's an interesting theory. Do you think that it's possible that Mike Tomlin likes to have a crazy guy around to raise the level of difficulty up a little bit?
I like that.
I mean, he just has the one crazy guy
in
the locker room. And look, there's a lot of people out there that I feel like thought the Texans should do the same thing. They don't really have that. They've never had that guy. They felt like a guy like that would take them to the next level. I mean, it never really took the Steelers to the next level for what it's worth. But I don't know, just some food for thought.
Yeah,
there.
I mean that was a major talking point for some people when Joe Mixon got signed, was that it was not the Texans' way to bring in someone with a history. So, by the way, did you see the news about the Browns though?
No, what happened?
They took one of their primetime games away from
us. Yes, and they did it sneakily. I actually did see that they flexed it out. I think week 16.
Yeah,
right?
The Bengals won. Yeah,
They should have done that.
Thankfully,
but that was a fun game last night. And you're wrong if you think otherwise. You're just wrong.
Very wrong.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. You want to weigh in on the Texans and Titans? You can 713-780-3776. I think they can actually shut us up temporarily, but it really is all about what they do on the offensive line against that really good Titans front. You can also talk about the big games that a couple of teams have this weekend. They're probably saying aloud at least that they're big games, but hopefully so that game next weekend is as crazy as possible. Texas and Texas A&M are going to take care of business as well if you want to weigh in on those two. Up next we play How Far Is Too Far with Joe, who has had a long day.
Long day.
And it's not even halfway over.
It's 12:33.
There's a lot to go. You'll hear what he's been through. In addition to some other stuff, he's Joe and Paul. We are live at Twin Peaks on Kirby, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
We do have a caller as we are here out at Twin Peaks on Kirby. Our good friend Vera. It's been a while. 713-780-3776. He wants to talk about the Texans. Big game against the Titans on Sunday. Vera, what's up, dog?
Hey, guys, I appreciate you letting me call in. So the obvious question is what our offensive line, specifically the interior offensive line, does against Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans' defensive line. I am also, of course, curious to see how many snaps both Will Anderson and Nico Collins, because they kind of held Nico Collins back. I would still say I'm still kind of concerned about really not having a running back getting any snaps running snaps behind, rushing snaps behind Joe Mixon. I mean, I think Damian Pierce had like one, and then he kind of just stumbled around, and I think he had that drop fumble at the kickoff, and I think that's pretty much that kind of sealed his fate for that day. But I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on what else outside of the obvious question, which is our interior offensive line versus their defensive line. What else are you sort of expecting to see this one, this game, this week, and next week? I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Interesting questions. Let's start off with the first one. I mean, the offensive line versus Jeffrey Simmons, Joe, we both agree.
Yeah.
That's the big challenge. Devondre Sweat there, too. It's your weakness against their strength. If you look good on Sunday, you protect C.J. Stroud, I feel better about the team going forward.
100%. Just, it gives you a confidence boost as you start to play some real football teams that are much more complete.
For sure. Second up. Interesting points about Will Anderson, who was limited at practice yesterday, Derek Stingley as well, but it does seem like Anderson's going to be back on Sunday. I would 100% have him on a snap count for this game, especially since they had the same snap count for Will Anderson. And also, earlier this year when they tried to bring Christian Harris back from injury, he re-aggravated it, and we haven't seen him yet. I mean, honestly, we still don't know when we're going to see Christian Harris for the first time this year. So with Nico Collins, you ramp him up. You got to give him more than he had last week. I expect them to give more. I understand, hey, there's concerns about the hamstring, it taking time bomb. But, hey, I mean, I feel like they've taken all the precautions necessary, and this offense is at its best when he's out there. And look, I mean, Steelers lost last night. It does help you out a little bit in terms of your chase for potentially getting the one seed. I mean, it's not – you have a tiebreaker over Buffalo. Again, Kansas City is going to need to help you out. Buffalo is going to need to help you out. You're going to need some help here. But there's 7 weeks left, you know? I mean, we saw what the difference that 7 weeks could make for the Jacksonville Jaguars last year, because I think the Jaguars were 8-3. I think it was after week 11.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I mean, geez, they have been god-awful ever since then.
Yeah, I think Nico was at 47% last week, I think it was, in terms of snap count. I mean, in a perfect world, he plays the majority of the game, if not the entire game, but the Texans end up being up by like 20 points going into the fourth quarter. And then you can drop his snap count severely after that and just get him out of the game. But, yeah, like 47-50% of the snaps on defense for Will Anderson is probably what we should expect. Probably closer to the mid-60s with Nico. It just feels like they're going to be extra precautious, which makes sense because, like, it's the Titans. You got a lot more important games down the road, you know, including just playoff games. So I get it, but he'll be out there more.
Let's get to the last part of Vera's question, though, because I think that's honestly the most interesting thing here. I have no idea what the hell's happening at running back. I really don't. I mean, to the point where I'm looking up right now, like, what's the latest with Damian Pierce? I feel like we haven't seen him in a very long time. Yesterday's injury report, I don't see Damian Pierce on it.
I don't think he ran the ball. I think he ran it once. He had the fumble on the kick return.
Right.
But he's really not, he's just not part of it. I think the
he's had, over the last, basically, let's just go month, he's had 4 carries.
Yeah.
You know, 2 against the Packers, 1 against the Colts, and then he had his first game back against the Cowboys, and he only had 1 carry. I do think about the workload for Mixon, because he has gotten a lot of work, and I think you're at a point now where some of the other guys are going to have to step up there and get in there, but the problem is that I don't know how good this team is at blocking for the run, and again, the Titans front 7 – and specifically their defensive line, are going to make it tough probably for anyone not named Joe Mixon to do anything on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, he's only got 15 carries on the season, so he's clearly not a focal point of their offense, even using him as a secondary back. I thought we were going to see more when they made the decision to trade Cam Akers back to the Vikings when that happened earlier this season. I feel like it's almost even like forgetting that it happened, but he was on this team at one point. You know, like maybe that wasn't the best decision, but it's not like he was giving you much either. Like, they don't have a second running back. We talked about this going into the season. They didn't address the secondary running back position.
I mean, I think they did. I think Pierce is good enough.
I mean, he isn't, even when he's out there, he's not touching the ball. 15 carries in 5 games?
That I can't understand.
Yeah.
He is talented. I don't know. I mean, scheme fit, maybe not. But the guy is talented enough. So that is interesting. Agunbowale, Wally is good as a receiver and a pass blocker. Not really as much as a running back. I mean, he's made some good plays this year, but to Vera's point, I do think that is something they should monitor because, yeah, you're watching Nico Collins. It's understandable, but Mixon has been the reason that you've had success this year on offense.
Yeah, especially when your passing game has struggled the way it has. It's giving even more carries to Dameon Pierce. I mean, that Lions game, like I said, I think I've said this a couple times now, but 34 carries, 20 yards.
Mm.
Or, no, 34 yards on 20 carries. And that was, like, in the third quarter. So even a game like that where, in theory, you should be going back and forth offensively, because you're not, it's just so much pressure has been put on him. And we've talked about this, you know, he's doing everything himself.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like anything's coming easy for
him. No, you saw against the Cowboys, yeah, he had a good game, and they credited the offensive line after the game because I think they're trying to gas him up a little bit. But he was making a lot of that happen on his own. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We are live at Twin Peaks. So, yeah, you will catch glimpses of scenic views. Zaki Zach is asking, Paul, can you please move the camera so we can see some of those scenic views?
Perverts.
I mean, listen, guys, just come out. Okay, it's Friday, it's a beautiful day, they have a patio, it's really nice, come and join us, okay?
I almost considered setting up on the patio, I was wondering, sir, if we should
honestly,
go out
there. I kind of wish we did, but
yeah.
Then again, at the same time, I'm kind of glad we didn't, if
that's
that
true.
Makes any sense.
Yeah, there's cars driving by.
There's a lot, yeah, exactly. also, we were talking a little bit earlier about crazy Houston Texans. Someone asks, Brian Cushing could have been that past crazy Texans guy. Yeah, he did headbutt a guy without his helmet on.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was, like, crazy on the George Pickens level of, like, I might hurt my team at any moment, and it's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I don't think the – besides –
Cushing never did that. Cushing was just a maniac.
Yeah, it was like heat of the moment deserved usually when he would get a little crazier in games from what I remember. So, you know, the Texans, they don't have that guy. Don't need him, really.
By the way, comment from Chewy on the Twitch. Joe needs to stop being petty. We want to see the scenic views, and not all of us are pervs.
Okay. Okay.
Chat, Joe. Not all of us are pervs. Alan Beat says he is a perv. I do agree. I'm a
me?
Perv. We're all no. Like, me and Alan, like we're open
all,
about
it. We're all perv. Everyone is.
We're open about it.
Everyone's a little bit.
All right. Let's play a little game that we like to call "How Far Is Too Far." Let's go.
Gallant and George ask a simple question. How far is too far?
Yeah, we're definitely outside the box now, huh? You gotta ask yourself, how far are you willing to go?
So Joe is going to set a number for us or
Oh, no, we're telling a story today.
We're telling a story.
Yeah.
Joe's not in a great mood. Joe, tell us why.
You're going to dictate my life today.
I'm going to dictate your life.
Well, one thing already happened. One might happen.
Okay.
So my car, driving home yesterday from work, check engine light comes on, power steering, whatever, all that stuff turns off. There goes the AC. Car won't go over 35 miles an hour.
Oh, God. Okay. I thought just the check engine light went on.
No. The engine light's on. So we're waiting to find out how bad it is. Waiting for...
That doesn't sound good. Okay.
Nope.
The way you told it at first, I was like,
it's just
a check engine light.
No. Probably worse. Waiting for a phone call to see how much this bill's going to run me. Because, you know, for some reason, I bought my car from a dealership an hour away from me. That was a smart decision. But simple solution, right? Car is broken. Get a rental car. Okay? So I go to Hertz this morning. I will name them my name because I'm unhappy. I walk in. First of all, there's no one there.
Oh, no.
There's three people in line, just waiting. My wife's starting to get annoyed.
Is this an episode of Tires?
She's got to get to work. She's got to pick up the paychecks for her job. We're waiting. Finally, they come in. This dude asking a gajillion questions, doesn't need to answer. So we're waiting in line. We finally get through. I say, my name's Joseph George. I'd like to get my car. I'm going to need it for today, hopefully. She looks at me, and she goes... I don't got a car for her. No car.
Oh.
So, I was going to let it go. So, I was trying to decide how...
This is like a Seinfeld episode.
To see how Karen-y I was going to get.
Oh, no.
I said, is there anything you can do for me? Can you find me a Hertz somewhere else? Can you find me something else? Don't have time. I said, lady, we're the only people in the store.
Oh, don't have time. You got to get a better answer than that.
She starts to snap at me a little bit. So then... This is where I got in trouble for the first time today.
Oh, no. What did
I called
you
do? The bleeping B, do your bleeping job as I walked out. Did I go too far? Did I go too far?
As someone who has temper issues, yes, you did.
Yeah.
But I understand that you said that.
Yes.
The problem...
I wasn't going to give the attitude until she gave it to me.
Listen, I got mad at Adobe Illustrator and Adobe Photoshop last night, so, I mean... For what it's worth, like, take everything I say with a grain of salt. I have terrible rage over small things issues I understand your thought process there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she knows your name.
Well, whatever. So I won't go to Hertz anymore.
Yeah,
oh,
but
well.
No, but this is the good name of the good name of Joe George.
Yeah, well, Hertz ran OJ.
You should have. You should. So you should have said that you're somebody else. You know.
Yeah.
Like well, if you're gonna say that, like you're Joe, you're a celebrity now.
I guess so.
No, that's not. I guess so. You are.
Yeah.
You're just like me, a Z-list celebrity, but you are still relevant enough.
Yeah.
Where I mean, this theoretically comes around. And
well, I just told a story. It's okay. So I go too far, B-Mac?
No.
I think the problem is that you didn't stand on business. You said it while walking out.
I know.
Ooh. That's like it was very like it was acting tough, but at the same time, very very passive. Like walking away from it. Now, I will say I can't fully criticize you for it because I've done the exact same thing. Like, you know what? I had it. I'm going to drop the big bomb on the way out.
Yeah.
But if you're going to drop the big bomb, you might need to stand on business.
Yeah. All right. So that's part one. Part two. Then we get into
a
conundrum.
No, there's more.
Does it get worse?
Yeah.
Oh. Sweet.
So then we get into the conundrum of, well, I guess I'm driving my wife to Kingwood for work and then back here. And then maybe having to go back to get her after the show today. So that's been lovely.
In the other car.
In her car,
okay.
Yes. So I drove her car.
Think about this, the silver linings. At least there is another car.
Well.
Because the lack of rental cars as brought up by Ryan Lawson in Texas. It is an issue. It's been an issue for a while.
I had the same problem about a month ago.
I had it last summer when with my car.
Yeah. Well, then I get my wife's car, and I'm realizing that there's a problem. Simple fix. Needs an alignment. Can easily tell. We're shaking a little bit. We're not worried. But, like, we just need an alignment. I was just really mad. And I was just like, is this another thing you want me to take care of?
Oh, you snapped at the wife?
Yeah.
Oh!
No. You took out your Hertz anger on Dana.
Yes. So I'm apologizing formally. She didn't talk to me for the next hour. So I'm in the doghouse.
I'm so glad I'm not married.
Yeah.
The answer, Joe, is you went too far.
Yeah.
That's an easy one.
I disagree, B-Mac, because have you seen the hit movie starring Michael Douglas, Falling Down?
Not in a long time.
Okay. Well, it could have been worse. Could have been worse, buddy.
Yeah.
You could have gotten mad about not getting your
Have you made up?
Breakfast McMuffin.
No. She hasn't talked to me still, so that's why I'm trying to decide if I'm shaving my head when I get home out of spite. Because she won't let me do it.
So you think that's going to make the situation better?
What are you doing?
How old are you, Joe?
What are you doing?
I'm not going to do it.
That is the equivalent of after you don't get your breakfast McMuffin at 10:31.
Yeah,
that
is
the equivalent. Mm-hmm. You are pulling out a Uzi and shooting
it
up.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Well, don't do that.
I'm not going.
You got to apologize. Did you apologize?
I did. Okay. Yeah. Thankfully, she left her phone in the car, so I had to go back in and apologize.
A thoughtful.
Well, when she walked out and didn't say goodbye, I was like, yikes.
That's always a big good
trouble.
Sign that you messed
you
up.
Gotta,
big trouble.
Here's what you do. Think. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Again, I'm not married. I'll probably never be married. But thoughtful gesture. You definitely have to pick her up. Like, that's not even a debate.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, that's for sure.
Have
yeah.
something. I would say have something in the car.
Yeah, flowers.
That she likes. Not just flowers, because it's a long drive back.
That's true. That's
so,
true. That's
so
true.
Honestly,
not only that, but flowers seems like, oh, that's the first thing you thought of. That's like what everyone does. It's got to be
true.
More personal.
That's true.
And a to-go drink for the long drive back.
There is some of those places.
Margarita to-go places.
I don't understand the legality of that still.
Or well, as long as you're not driving.
Yeah, I still think it's
weird.
Well,
you just can't open it.
Oh, is that the rule?
Yeah.
Well, it's open container. Like, you can buy
I know.
Like you would at a grocery store.
It just seems
you just can't open and drink it.
It just seems so obvious that people are going to open and drink it.
The Twitch is providing the worst advice. Ryan Lawson, Texas says you should show up to pick her up with no clothes.
Yeah, what is that? How
Alan
Beach
is suggesting he goes to the strip club. No, no, no.
No, no, no. No, no,
these
no,
are,
no.
These are this.
That's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. I've never been to one of those. So also, like, not going to make it first time for that one.
Twitch is toxic, but they're being funny today.
No, they're funny. Let's see. Bleed Blue says, I'll fix your car if you do a remote for my front lawn. Deal.
Well, we've had some people offering, asking us to do remotes where they're at.
Yeah. I mean, look, we'll go where the money goes.
You pay us, we'll be there.
Yeah, like, as long as you've got a power source and a little bit of green, like, front yard, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I've seen remotes done in weirder places, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're right. I can remember some very topical.
So part one, no. Part two, yes.
Yes, part two for sure. Yes.
Yeah, I knew the answer was part two, but you're an open book on the show, and I felt like it was Joe story time for
once. No, that's good. It was good story. I hope it was therapeutic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I feel better now. I still need a beer.
Well, your wife needs to feel better. It's not really about you feeling better.
That's a good point, B-Mac.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, I think we'll find out tomorrow when she talks to me again.
Hey, she doesn't talk to you. Call of Duty's out.
Oh, how far is too far for her not to talk to me? On the other side.
How long before you get worried?
Yeah.
It's. I will imagine that after a long day at work, she'd be a little bit more open to it. But again, you gotta come with honey.
Yeah.
No more vinegar.
Yes, that's true.
And you're gonna have to. I think you're gonna have to take the whole weekend off from bitching and moaning.
Oh yeah, and extra chores. Anything that's on the honey-do list, got to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. VBW says when you pick her up, get out and make her drive. That's bad advice. That's bad advice.
Ask her what her deal is.
When she comes towards the car, toss her the keys and just yell, "You drive."
Ask her what her deal is.
Yeah. Tell your wife, I don't know why you're so upset about this. Bad idea.
Bad idea.
Twitcher's not trying to get divorced. Try to avoid that. But yeah.
There you go, guys.
That's how my day went.
Well,
so far.
Listen, it's not done yet.
Yeah, waiting for the phone call, see how much it runs me. But.
Yeah. I hope for the best. How old's the car?
2020.
Still under warranty?
I think so.
It should be if it's 2020. Usually there's 6 years or a certain amount of miles. I know you drive a lot, so.
Yeah, I think the mileage is
it's
over.
It's like
that's
50, 60,000. You might have a problem.
I remember my, when I drove back from Seattle, my transmission on my car literally crapped out as soon as I arrived. Oh. And I was just under the limit of 60,000, so they replaced it.
Yeah.
Which was very convenient, because Nissans don't exactly have the best transmission. Anyway, I don't know much about cars. He's Joe.
Yep.
I'm Paul. Joe, we're here at Twin Peaks. Let's have ourselves a wonderful time. Coming up next on this fine radio program of ours, live at the Twin Peaks on Kirby, come out and join us. I hate that some people are putting this negative energy out in the air, but is there a chance that the Texans blow this game on Sunday against the Titans? Is there a chance that Texas blows it against Kentucky tomorrow? Is there a chance that Texas A&M, which had that unfortunate moment at the press conference, were focused on Auburn, that they blow it against Auburn on Saturday? Let's discuss. Stay put.
This is ESPN 97.5.